Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a concrete echo percussion layer that feels straight out of an old-school jungle or DNB record, but with the precision of a modern Ableton Live 12 workflow. The big idea is simple. Take a tiny percussion source, run it through a short, hard-surfaced echo chain, record the result, then chop that resample into a living, humanized layer. We're not just making an effect, we're making playable percussion material that adds motion, grit, and attitude without muddying the kick, snare, or bass. In drum and bass, this kind of layer matters a lot. The groove often loops for long stretches, so micro variation becomes everything. A good humanized percussion bed can make a pattern feel like it's breathing. It can add that jungle instability, that old sampler flavor, that little bit of chaos that keeps the loop exciting. And when you do it right, it still stays mix safe and clean. So let's start at the source. Pick something small and sharp, a rim shot, a closed hat, a tiny break slice, a conga hit, a click, anything with a crisp transient and a short body. If you choose a break slice, even better, because that already brings a more authentic jungle feel. Drop it into Simplar or onto an audio track and trim it tightly. You want a sound that can survive being stretched into little echo fragments. If the sample is already tight, you can leave warping off. Keep the fades minimal too. You're looking for a compact source that acts like a seed, not a full drum part. Now we build the concrete echo chain. A simple stock setup works great. Put echo first, then EQ8, then saturator, then utility. If you want a little more space, you can add a short reverb after echo, but keep it restrained. The whole point is to create something that feels like it's bouncing off hard walls, like a concrete room or a corridor, not floating in a shiny atmospheric wash. For echo, start with a delay time of 1/16, 1/8, or dotted 1/16. Keep feedback somewhere in the 15 to 35% range. Use very little stereo spread if you want the layer to stay tight, maybe 0 to 30%. Filter the low end out aggressively, usually high passing around 200 to 500 Hz. Then roll off some top end too, maybe around 6 to 10 kHz, depending on how bright the source is. Keep the modulation subtle. You want movement, not wobble. If you add reverb, keep it short, a decay time, around 0.3 to 0.8 seconds, very little pre-delay, high cut around 6 to 8 kHz, and low cut around 250 to 500 Hz is a solid starting point. Then add a little saturator after that, just enough drive to make the tail a bit rude and dusty. A small amount of soft clipping can really help this feel like an actual percussion print instead of a clean delay preset. Here's the teacher note that matters. In DNB, the point of this chain is not to wash the sound out. The point is to create rhythm out of reflections. The transient should still read, but the tail should start contributing groove. Once the effect feels good, it's time to commit. Create a new audio track and set its input to resampling. Arm it and record your percussion source running through the echo chain. Don't just print one quick loop and move on. Record a few bars, and while you record, make small changes. Adjust feedback, delay time, filter cutoff, and dry/wet balance. Capture a few different behaviors. This is important because we want variation baked into the audio itself. Slightly different passes give you material that feels alive when you start chopping it. Try one pass at straight 1/16 and another at dotted 1/16. Straight timing can feel tighter and more mechanical, while dotted timing instantly brings in that jungle-style bounce. Now we move into the edit phase, and this is where the magic really starts. Take your resampled audio and put it on a new track. Now you're going to treat it like drum material, not a finished loop. You can slice it to a MIDI track, manually place warp markers, use Simplar in slice mode, or simply cut and duplicate sections by hand. For intermediate workflow, I'd suggest finding the best one bar segment, consolidating it, then slicing the most interesting transients into 1/16 or 1/32 events. And here's a good mindset shift. Think in events, not loops. Every little tail, smear, ghost hit, or accidental overlap is a musical event you can place on purpose. Don't keep everything. Be selective. Pick the hits that have attitude, the echoes that answer the main drum pattern, the weird little fragments that feel useful. The goal is not perfection. The goal is personality. Trim out silence aggressively. Add tiny crossfades if you hear clicks. Move a few hits slightly to head or behind the grid. Let some tails bleed into the next beat. This is where the human feel starts to appear. You're not trying to lock everything perfectly. You're trying to create a phrase that breathes. Now let's make the timing feel human, but not sloppy. Open the groove pool and try a subtle swing groove. Something like MPC 16 Swing 54 or 57 is a strong place to start. You can also extract a groove from a break you already like if you want the feel to stay connected to the rest of the drums. Apply only part of the groove. You don't need to max it out. Timing around 30 to 60% is usually enough. Random can stay very low, around 0 to 10%. Velocity can be around 10 to 25% if the layer needs a bit more life. Then make a few manual offsets. A couple of ghost hits can land a little late for a lazy funk feel. A few brighter percussion bits can sit slightly early for more urgency. The key is not to shift every hit the same way. If everything is moved together, the groove just gets blurry. If only certain notes are offset, the loop starts to feel performed. Velocity matters too. Give your stronger hits more weight, and keep the ghost notes light. Main hits might sit around 90 to 110 in velocity, while ghost hits might live somewhere around 25 to 60. That contrast helps the layer feel like it's responding to the main groove rather than just sitting on top of it. Next, shape the layer so it sits inside the pocket. Add EQ8 and utility on the chopped percussion track. Bypass it somewhere around 180 to 400 Hz, depending on what's in the resample. If there's any harshness around 3 to 7 kHz, tame it a little. If one particular ring is sticking out too much, notch it gently, then check the width. If this layer is supporting the break, keep it narrower and darker. If it's a featured top texture, you can open the width a little more, but be careful not to cloud the snare in the center. A great habit is to mute the layer every so often and ask yourself one question. Does the groove lose motion when it disappears? If the answer is yes, the layer is doing its job. If the whole mix suddenly feels cleaner and better without it, then the layer is probably too loud, too bright, or too busy. If you want a little extra glue, group your drums and add drum bus slightly to the percussion group. Keep the drive modest, usually just a touch. Crunch can help. Transients can be nudged if the layer feels too soft, and boom is usually not needed here. The goal is to make the layer feel like part of the kit, not like a separate effects track. Now let's talk about arrangement movement, because this layer can do more than just sit in a loop. Automate it. You can bring echo feedback up slightly at the end of every 8 or 16 bars. You can open the filter during tension sections. You can raise the dry/wet into fills, then pull it back after the impact. You can even duck the volume a little under key snare hits or drop accents. A really effective move is to let the layer get a little more active during the build, then pull it back right before the drop. For example, in an 8-bar intro, let the layer enter quietly around bar 3, increase its activity by bars 5 and 6, then thin it out in bar 7 so the drop in bar 9 lands with more impact. That kind of movement makes the arrangement feel intentional and musical. You can also turn this into a variation system instead of relying on one loop. Make 3 versions. Version is your main layer, subtle and tucked under the break. Version B is a more active alternate with extra ghost hits or a different delay feel. Version C is your fill or transition version, with longer tails, more saturation, or a wider image. You can duplicate the track and edit each one differently, or use different chains and mute them by section. This is a very old-school trick, with modern control. The drums evolve across the arrangement, but the track still loops cleanly enough for DJ mixing and for a solid sense of forward motion. If you want to go a step deeper, split the material into a ghost lane and a bite lane. Keep one track for faint tails and soft echoes, and another for sharper accent hits. That lets you blend the personality of the layer differently in each section. You can also duplicate the chopped pattern and delay the copy by a few milliseconds or a 30-second note, then tuck it very low in the mix. That creates a messy but controlled smear that feels beautifully vintage. And don't be afraid to keep some accidents. In jungle and old school DNB, strange overlaps, clip tails, or awkward little fragments can become the best fill material. Sometimes the imperfect print is the one that has the most character. A few common pitfalls to watch for. Too much feedback will turn the layer into ambience instead of percussion. Keep it short and controlled. Always remove low end from the effect chain, because any bassy tail will fight your kick and sub. Don't overhumanize everything, or the groove will fall apart. And don't make the layer too loud. It should be felt first, then noticed. Also, start with a tiny source. A long tom or a busy loop will just clog the space. The best starting point is usually the smallest, sharpest sound you can find. For darker or heavier DNB, there are some extra moves worth trying. You can bandpass the source before the echo to make it feel like it's bouncing through metal corridors. You can add a tiny amount of frequency shifter or chorus ensemble if you want subtle unease. You can print a degraded version with saturator, drum bus, or even a little redux, then layer that quietly under the cleaner pass. And always check your layer in mono, because if it still works there, it's probably going to work in the club. Here's a quick practice exercise you can use right away. Choose one tiny percussion source. Process it with echo and EQ 8 only. Record 4 bars using resampling. Chop out about 6 to 10 interesting hits or tails. Apply a subtle groove and move 2 or 3 notes manually. High pass the layer and keep it quiet under your drum loop. Then duplicate it and make one version with extra feedback for a fill. If you do that successfully, you should end up with a loop that feels alive, not static. Something that adds motion, grit, and character without stepping on the main drums. So to recap, start with a tiny transient heavy source, build a short filtered concrete echo, resample it, chop it into events, humanize the timing with selective offsets and groove, then shape it so it supports the kick and snare. Use automation and variations to keep it evolving across the arrangement.